Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Now it's time for Inside the Clubhouse, a show dedicated to the Chicago baseball fan, featuring the best Chicago baseball conversation, as well as the big MLB topics, along with the biggest names, greatest guests, and listener interaction with Chicago baseball expert Bruce Levine and Ryan McGuffey on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Good morning.
Bad start.
Easy for you to say.
What's up, Bruce?
Good morning.
Inside the Clubhouse. Fresh off your 20,000 steps a day winter meetings this week in Dallas, Texas. The Cubs and White Sox, two of the biggest moves of the week. The Cubs put in a bookend and stamp. It was not in Dallas, obviously, the big news yesterday. Acquiring superstar outfielder Kyle Tucker from the Houston Astros in exchange for Isak Paredes, Hayden Wesneski, and Cam Smith. We're going to break this thing down in every which way. We're going to also talk about quote-unquote old news of Garrett Crochet being dealt earlier in the week to the Boston Red Sox. But first, just your overall impressions, Bruce, the winter meetings, the Cubs trade of Kyle Tucker. We didn't even discuss this one. We've been talking so much about Cody Bellinger being on the move. That's going to be part of this. But the Cubs go out and do something I've been wanting them to do for a long time, and that's go get a star. I got a lot of stats and numbers here for those who don't understand how good Kyle Tucker is. But shortly before 2 p.m., and Bruce, yesterday, I woke up to your text. You were all over this, reporting that the conversations were being had, the names were being exchanged. You had Cam Smith in the deal as early as like 9 a.m. in a tweet that I saw. So you were all over this. Why don't you, first off, just good to see you again, and you know, kind of walk us through how this deal went down.
Well, first of all, 312-644-6767, Ryan, because this is all interactive today. We have 45 minutes of bonus radio coverage talking baseball until 11:45. So we want to hear from you Sox fans, you Cub fans, on the trades that they made at this winter meetings and right after the winter meetings. And I was following the, some of my contacts and front office people and scouts in the game, and you know, they were telling me that, you know, this deal was happening for sure. The first report of it was while we were at the winter meetings, Sadhav Sharma of the Athletic reported for the first time, wouldn't it be a good idea to consider trading for Kyle Tucker? So where there's smoke, there's fire. You know, Sadhav has outstanding contacts out there as well. So it looked like just something that he was stirring up, but in reality he had, you know, some information about that they were going after Tucker. After that, it started to, go where, you know, what type of players were they looking for? How was the money exchange for the Cubs? Who was going to go? Initially, there was talk about Seiya Suzuki being part of this trade. They had no interest in Seiya Suzuki. What they had interest in was getting back protection. We're talking about Houston. Getting back protection in case Bregman leaves there as a free agent.
Yep.
They got Paredes. Their scouts project Paredes to hit 30 home runs in Houston.
He's a deadpool hitter.
Right.
You got the Crawford boxes. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, absolutely, Ryan. And on top of that, they were in sync as far as making the trade, except for the last guy. The Cubs wanted them to take a minor league pitcher. They were more interested in a guy like Wisniewski that ended up going because of the fact that he has experience as a starter. He has experience as a reliever, and he's not making a lot of money. So that worked for them. And this deal, as we saw, was consummated, bringing Tucker, who, Ryan, correct me if I'm wrong, is the first superstar outfielder that the Cubs have obtained. And I'm not including Bellinger because he was removed from being a superstar outfielder when they first picked him up.
Yep.
Maybe since, you tell me.
I mean, the first name that comes to mind is Sammy Sosa. And I know people are going to be like, whoa, what a, think of one. I mean, talking about a superstar outfielder. And I don't understand, like, I don't know if people quite understand how good he is. I want to read a tweet from Chris Kamka, who works with the Marquee Network, a friend of the program, friend of me. Of 151 players with at least 1,600 plate appearances from 2021 to present, Kyle Tucker's 145 Bruce OPS Plus is tied for eighth. Here are the seven guys ahead of him: Aaron Judge, Shohei Ohtani, Jordan Alvarez, Juan Soto, Bryce Harper, Freddie Freeman, Vlad Guerrero Jr. Pretty damn good company.
Yeah.
That's how good he is.
Right.
So to put a superstar label on him is absolutely fair. And this is where you can chime in at 312-644-6767. I do think he's the first outfielder they've acquired that's as good as Sammy Sosa.
So what is a superstar in today's – I mean, it's a term that's been thrown around a lot now, okay? But what is a superstar? What is a five-tool player – really a five-tool player? Is Kyle Tucker a five-tool player? Well, let's start out. He hits. He hits for power. He plays above-average defense. Okay, all the metrics will go with that for you. He can throw, and he can also run. Up until last year where he only played a half a season, a little less than a half a season, he was a 30 stolen base guy.
And, okay. and just for the people who don't know, the injury, he fouled the ball off his shin. Shattered. I mean, so that was the injury. It's not like it's some soft tissue pull or soft tissue tear that we've seen here on the south side a lot. This was a ball off the shin, folks. And when he came back, he was just as dominant before he hit the injury list.
Right. So again, what do you like? What don't you like on this trade for Kyle Tucker? If you're a Chicago Cub fan, you're just a baseball fan. What do you like, what don't you like about the trade other than the fact, and you can throw this in, Ryan, it's a one-year deal. And the likelihood of signing him again after that, you're one of 30 when he becomes a free agent, no matter what type of year he has.
Yep, but you got an entire calendar year to brainwash him and show him a good time on the north side of Chicago. He's going to love how they treat their players. The Cubs treat their players and their families as good as any team in baseball. They have all of the amenities that are just as good as any team. The clubhouse, how they do their analytics, their scouting, their team care, their physicians, the massage therapist. They have everything you need.
The money.
The money talks. He's going to be probably a $400 million player, if not more than that, the way we've seen money. I don't care it's a one-year deal. There are people out there, well, what about Cam? Yeah, if Cam Smith becomes a third-base stud in 3 years for the Houston Astros, but let's paint a picture here. The Yankees went and traded for 1 year of Juan Soto, thinking we can get this guy long-term. They were right there at the end. They offered 16 years, $750 million. They didn't get it done, but they were in the World Series. Does Kyle Tucker put the Cubs in the World Series? We don't know, but it's not Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, but this makes the Cubs a hell of a lot better today and closer to their goals of 90 wins, Bruce, than it did before the trade.
The one thing about the Cubs last year that was troublesome for me and for the fan base, I believe, and I can't speak for all of them. They're going to have to speak for themselves. You're an 83-win team. You have a lot of good players. You're horribly boring, okay? You're horribly mediocre, okay? Yeah. I applaud Jed Hoyer and the front office. They see the same thing that we saw, okay? They are moving on from mediocre to, we want some stars in here. We have to win this year, not because Hoyer's in the last year of his contract, but because they have good players that are at their, a lot of them are at their point of being 30 years old. Okay. What does that mean? That means that your peak as a major league baseball player is usually between the ages of 27 and 33. Time is now to add, time is now to win. And applauding them only means for me that they're doing what's responsible to try to win as a franchise now.
Yeah, amen. I can't say it better. Jim Callis, 9:30. He's going to talk about, he's MLB Pipeline. He'll talk about the Crochet deal. The Hall of Fame voice of the Cubs, Pat Hughes, at 10 a.m. Steve Sparks of the Houston Astros Radio Network, former pitcher, will discuss the Kyle Tucker trade. And the text line is blowing up. Everyone loves the deal. 708, he has everything you need. 847, love the deal. 708, love the deal. And then, Bruce, people are chiming in with another name that you can make an argument. Alfonso Soriano as the most productive player outfielder that they've acquired since Kyle Tucker. Right. I'll buy that. Okay. I'll buy that, I think.
If we broke it down to a trade for...
Okay. Sammy Sosa, then. Sammy Sosa.
Yeah, right.
People are saying Dawson, but that's pre-Sammy Sosa, and it was a free agent, too.
Right.
So... Soriano, I'll buy, but if we're talking about trading, you got to go back, over 30 years.
I always go back to Andy McPhail talking to his front office back then, and they said, you know what, we have to get pitching. You can always get outfielders. And it's like, guess what? No, you can't. You can get outfielders, but impactful outfielders, no, you can't. They're just... You know, it's not the 1960s or 70s, and there's tons of athletic, power-hitting players that are in the game that you can go get, sign, develop. It's just, you know, for whatever it is, the 90s, 2000s, you know, up till now, been more about impact infielders. Than it has been impact outfielders. And that's just general off the top of my head. I might be wrong about it. I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, look, when you go back the last 4 years and just using Baseball Reference, here are the WAR totals of Kyle Tucker, 5.75, 4.5, 4.4, 4.7. He's a 5.5 win player. Those guys don't just, they're not just dangled out there every offseason.
Well, when you look at WAR and you break down those numbers, You have to be careful. And Jed Hoyer at the winter meetings talked about it. He said, hey, we had our top WAR players were Swanson and Horner, okay? You know, 3.8, 4.3, okay? But a lot of it was predicated on their defense,
absolutely,
right? And it's like, yeah, we got to have great defensive players. Can't be, you know, most of your WAR can't be about your defense.
No.
Okay?
No, I mean, ball go far, team go far.
You got to have good defense. Yeah, I mean, I'm big on better defense. I'm big on, you know, the fact that the Cubs during May and June were wonky when it came to defense. But the reality is they didn't get Swanson to be just the best defensive shortstop in the National League. They expected 22 to 25, 80 to 90 RBI, you know, productivity. That wasn't there last year, okay? They've been harping on Horner since he came here to be more of a extra base threat, you know, a guy that hits 40, 50 doubles, hits 20 home runs, you know. He's had to deal with this reality of hearing about it, trying to build his body and his swing into it. Now, Horner just happens to be a really good baseball player. He's not a home run hitter. He's not a doubles machine. He's just a really good player.
He's making good money to be that player. Yeah, to your point.
But offensively, he's not going to be your top three guy.
No.
Okay? And when you wish and hope for guys to be something that you want them to be,
you're an 83 win team.
And if you're the general manager, you might be doing something else within the next year or two.
So there's a lot of, where do we go from here now that Kyle Tucker is on the Cubs? You know, say a Suzuki, Cody Bellinger. Let's go to the phone lines and bring in Frankie from Wrigleyville and see what his thoughts are. What's up, Frankie?
Guys, love the show. I love baseball, man. So I think we all agree that the Cubs lineup would be better if not with not only the addition of Tucker, but keeping Suzuki and Bellinger. And I know Ian Happ has a no trade clause, but now it's time for Jed Hoyer to be a general manager and sit him down and say, listen, what teams would you want to go to? And if he doesn't give you any teams, then you tell him you're going to be my fourth outfielder. And I would throw Suzuki in left. And then Michael Busch, to me, will be a casualty. And you got to put Bellinger at first. And then your lineup is so deep at that time that now you are a playoff contender and possibly a World Series contender based, you know, if we shore up our bullpen. But what do you guys think about that?
Frankie, thanks. Appreciate your call.
Good insight there. I like it.
Frankie's the one element missing here is the payroll.
Okay. Let's talk about it.
So I think the payroll, once they add a, they're gonna trade for a pitcher in the next week. I'm pretty sure it's gonna get done.
You gonna keep that one under the vest there? You're just gonna
I'm not sure. I'm not sure of the exact name right now, so I'm keeping it under the vest.
Okay. Fair.
I'm also the talks with the Yankees continue on. There have been infielders and pitchers talked in that deal. Money is being talked in that deal.
That's for Bellinger.
Right.
Okay.
So if they can't move the Bellinger contract, and by the way, the Giants are supposedly are in on Bellinger now as well. So if you can't move the Bellinger contract, first of all, Cub fans are going, why are we moving the Bellinger?
Yep.
It's $32.5 million for this year. Their projected payroll, I'm guessing, is somewhere around $215 million, something in that area.
And where do they want to be?
Right.
They were $240 million this year, is that right?
I think they want to be right around there. Okay.
So they want to be $25 million less.
But the reality is that, and Frankie comes up with a good idea, except that Ian Happ was arguably your most productive player on the Cubs last year, right? So other teams would be interested in him. I think with the no trade with Happ is more about number one pick, career Cub. I don't think he's going to say yes to a no trade. He's got two more years left. Him and his lovely wife just purchased a new house in the suburbs. He has a business here. There's no reason why, if I'm Ian Happ, I say yes to a trade. Can you think any other than, hey, we're going to give you a two-year extension and add $50 million onto your deal?
Yeah, that's the beauty of a no-trade clause, is that you, at the end of the day, have full autonomy as to where and when you want to go. I don't hate the idea of saying you're the fourth outfielder, but the problem is, as you said, Bruce, he's a gold glover. Like, I don't know if... And he is a guy that's shown the ability to hit 20 homers. I think Ian Happ slides perfectly in a lineup that's stacked top heavy. Now, I'm not a big, you have to move Cody Bellinger guy. I hate that the Cubs can't have Bellinger and Tucker. I do. I hate it. I know the payroll's part of it. I would really be interested in the Saya thing. If you can move Saya, do you believe, Bruce, is it one or the other? Is it both? Because I just don't, if you're only making it about Tucker and then trying to surround everybody around Tucker, you're just more dangerous.
I'm open to trading both because we haven't even got to the point of they have good young players in their system coming along, okay?
Okay, but so, we've seen failure.
Okay, well, so we can't be hypocrites talking about minor league systems, okay? I can't be a hypocrite and say they have a good system with good players and then say, oh, by the way, I don't know if they can really play at the major league level.
You don't, though.
I know, but... You know, do you have them or don't you? You're going to talk with Jim Callis. We're both going to talk to Jim Callis, 9:30, an expert on the minor leagues from MLB Pipeline, and we'll say, "Hey, the Cubs have six of the top 60."
Right.
Wow. They must. All these players are going to be great major league players. No, they're not.
No.
Okay.
We've seen it time.
We
time,
don't.
Time
we don't
again.
Even. We can't even project right now if any of them are going to be average to above average major league players or. You know, be up and back between the minor leagues for the next few years before they become gym teachers.
And that's why people are mad about Cam Smith. We don't know a thing about... He could be a stud. He could be the next Alex Bregman in Houston, okay? He also could just be the next journeyman, as you pointed out. To get guys like Kyle Tucker, people, you have to sweeten the pot.
Right.
You can't just be like, well, I wanted the Tate Triantos instead. Well, Jed Hoyer would have too. But that's just not how it works.
I will say for people that say, well, you know, like our last caller, yeah, tell Happy's not playing anymore. He's a fourth outfielder. And then we keep saying, okay, who's the leadoff man?
I don't have one for you.
Who's your defensive left fielder? Is it Saya? It's not Saya.
No.
No, I mean, so.
That's what I'm saying.
Again, I think Suzuki has proved that he's a good right-handed bat and above average, you know, OPS guy. The rest of it leaves me, you know, defensively, he's backed up since he's come here from Japan. So you can't necessarily trust he's going to be a good outfielder anymore at age 31 this year. He's not a great base runner, okay? He's a productive hitter. On a good team, he's a number six hitter.
Okay? Yeah, and that, I think the Cubs have a few of those guys.
Yeah.
I do. That's why
They have a guy, he's number two, he's number three, he's number four, wherever you want to put him.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
Okay. Would you love to keep Bellinger in that lineup? I think so. But again, Bellinger's up and down career has them wondering what he really is.
He's half the player that Kyle Tucker is. Even when you I know I don't want to judge everything on WAR, but consistency-wise, Kyle Tucker's every year. He posts every single year. Bellinger's up and down. It's a wave you have to ride. But I would rather ride the wave of Cody Bellinger next year than Seiya Suzuki. So now you're pigeonholed because of where Suzuki has to go to, which is about two or three teams.
The biggest comment that Jed Hoyer made for the Cubs, for their fans, for the media is, we are wanting to win a World Series again. We are wanting to go deep into the playoffs. We aren't hoping this move helps us project us one step closer to being above average. We need to make a few more.
Everybody should be salivating at that in this town because we have nothing to hold on to. So the fact that people are saying World Series, let's go. Let's go back to the phone lines real quick. What's up, Bruce?
Ryan, it plays to what fans really want. We don't want to hear about your projections of your payroll.
Agreed.
Or young guys in 26, 27, 28. What are you going to do to help us win a World Series this year?
And every year after that. Let's go back to the phone lines. Rusty's in Orlando. Much more sunnier. Well, it's sunny here, but definitely warmer. Rusty, what's up?
Yeah, well, it's not sunny. I'm out on my weekly, daily jog, and I just had to stop the.
Are you wearing shorts?
Avoid the raindrops.
Are you wearing shorts?
I am wearing shorts.
Okay,
I'm a former Chicagoan, 40 years there, so I know the weather in December, January, February. So we've got you beat. It's baseball season down here. So
all right, let's go. What do you got?
Year round. What I have is I like the Cubs trade, but I'm a Sox fan, and I've been a critical Sox fan. I'm not a fair weather fan.
Join the club.
I've been with them since '59 and endured a lot of bad years, the last three in particular, really bad. But I have to give Chris Getz some kudos. I wasn't a fan of his getting the job, but after the Kopech Pham Fetty deal, I think this deal is a real winner. Obviously, guys have to stay healthy. Obviously, it has to translate to the major league game. But Teal, he's ready to catch defensively right now, and he brings a left-handed bat. The kid Mydroth, that middle infielder, good bat-the-ball skills, old-school baseball. Not going to hit the ball out of the park, but he's going to make every play. The real key to this deal is Braden Montgomery. If he lives up near the comps, which are, I'm sure you and Bruce have heard them, it's Dave Parker arm, Dave Parker power in the outfield, and Carlos Beltran switch hitting ability. If he comes close to being an all-star player or is an all-star player, Sox win this deal no matter what Crochet does for him. And I hate losing Crochet. So I think the Sox did a good job. I don't see more than 60 victories next season, but it's early and anything can happen. And you have to be an optimist in this game. So keep doing a great job, guys. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Rusty. Appreciate you. We're going to talk to Jim Callis from MLB Pipeline here shortly at the bottom of the hour and break down that trade a lot more. Back to Tucker real quick, Bruce. From the 312, Tucker could hit 40 bombs, steal 40 bags. The last time they had a left-handed hitter that could hit 40 homers was 1970. I mean, so to your point about bringing this up.
He's talking about Billy Williams.
He is talking about Billy Williams. I appreciate you filling that in. But that you're talking about a Hall of Famer. Now, we're not going to talk about Kyle Tucker and Hall of Fame trajectory, but we're talking about Kyle Tucker, and I know the Cubs play at Major League Baseball with the schedule. You play every team now. You'll see more of Kyle Tucker. But people, the Cub fans aren't glued to AL West baseball. This guy is a legitimate bona fide superstar.
And, you know, as I think Kenny Rosenthal pointed out earlier in the week, he's nationally, he's not really seen like he is. He is underrated by the baseball world because he plays in Houston, maybe because of the bigger stars, maybe because a lot of people decided to ignore Houston because of the scandal and, you know, they just cancel them out automatically as, oh yeah, but they cheat there. Mm-hmm. Okay, whatever it is, he was not the main star in Houston for a long time. But as people are pointing out, a big part of being a part of a winning tradition there for the last 7 years where the team is always in contention to win a World Series. I like that part of it where you expect to win, also a part of him coming here. Just very similar to what the reason why they went out and got Bellinger.
Yep. I love everything about the Kyle Tucker trade and what it means and talking about World Series. Time for a break, but on the other side, we are going to talk to our friend Jim Callis. Nobody knows the minor leagues better, but I can promise you nobody knows the White Sox and Red Sox prospects better because he's the guy who does the top 30 for both clubs. Jim Callis on the other side. He's Bruce Levine. I'm Ryan McGuffey. This is Inside the Clubhouse on 670.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Score.
Leading it off, he is catching, batting cleanup. Teal hits that one hard to center field. Belaid going back to the track, to the wall. Bullseye! Kyle Teal, first pitch.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. And always live on the free Odyssey app.
Kyle Teal, the now number two ranked prospect in the White Sox system. After the White Sox dealt Garrett Crochet to Boston this week, Ryan McGuffey, Bruce Levine here on Inside the Clubhouse on 670 The Score, and it's time to go to the Circo Sports Illinois Hotline, where our friend Jim Callis from MLB Pipeline and the guy who knows these two systems better than anybody, download the Circo Sports app today. Jim, thanks for being on the program.
Oh, no, glad to be here.
All right, so let's break it down. I'm looking at MLB Pipeline right now. I'm looking at the White Sox system. Kyle Teal, second in the White Sox system. Now Braden Montgomery, and I want to talk about him specifically here in a little bit. Fifth in the White Sox system. How do you, after a couple of days now, being able to kind of really soak in this trade, what do you think the White Sox got in the four-player return for Garrett Crochet?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think they did as well as you're going to do in a trade like this. I mean, and I don't know if this part's going to make White Sox fans feel good or bad. It reminds me a lot of the Chris Sale trade. When they made the Chris Sale trade, I guess that was what, 8 years ago now?
Yep.
They got two top 100 prospects and, you know, those guys were probably even ranked a little bit higher than Teal and Braden Montgomery. Yoan Makata, I think, was our number one prospect in baseball at the time. Mm-hmm. Michael Kopech was on the very short list of the best pitching prospects in baseball at the time. And they got, you know, two other guys, Luis Alexander Basabe and Victor Diaz, who wound up not being much. And this trade kind of went, that was my first reaction when I saw the trades. They got two top 100 guys in Kyle Teal, who's one of the best catching prospects in baseball. Brandon Montgomery, who's a classic, you know, right field tool, so he's yet to make his pro debut because he got hurt right before the draft last year. And then they got a kind of two other guys are kind of contrast. You know, Chase Meidroth is he's a high floor guy. He gets on base really well. I don't think he's the most physically gifted athlete. You know, it's below average power and the rest of it's fringy, but he gets on base. And I mean, he could be the White Sox second baseman next year. Whereas Wilkelman Gonzalez is kind of on the other extreme. He's got a high ceiling. He led the minors in strikeouts per nine innings and strikeout percentage in 2023. And he can be mid nineties fastball and hammer curveball. And anybody looks at his numbers, he was pretty bad in 2024. So he's more of a lottery ticket. But I just think when you're making a trade like this to get two top 100 prospects, and we're talking about guys who are in the upper half of the top 100. I think Montgomery's right around 54. You know, we're not talking about two guys toward the bottom of it. And then you get two other players, one of whom might be your starting second baseman this year. I think that's a pretty good return for Crochet.
Jim, when you look at Crochet, you know, we're looking at his career as the 140 innings he pitched last year and the way that he dominated in strikeouts. Is it a slam dunk to you that he is a all-star pitcher the next 6 years and he's the next coming of Chris Sale?
No, I mean, and here's the difference, I think, between two. I mean, and Garrett's good, and I know why the Red Sox traded for him, and I know why the White Sox got as much as they did. But as you pointed out, you know, his career high is 146 innings. You know, he's pitched, what, I think, 73 innings in four seasons before that.
Correct.
One of those was his draft year. This isn't Chris Sale, who, and I don't have Chris's stats in front of me, but when the White Sox traded Chris Sale, I think he'd been a starter for at least four seasons. He was clearly established. And so I think that's the difference. I mean, there's risk on this from both sides. I mean, Crochet's never pitched 150 innings in a season. And while he was very good last year, and a lot of teams wanted him, he's done it once. You know, it isn't the same record as Chris Sale, track record as Chris Sale. And then, you know, on the White Sox side, you know, prospects aren't sure things. You know, as you know, you look at the Chris Sale trade, Moncada had one really good year and disappointed otherwise. And Kopech never developed into a reliably consistent starting pitcher. I think he might have a nice career as a reliever going forward. But, you know, like prospects don't always reach their ceiling. That's the risk when you trade for prospects.
Yeah, I think that's the PTSD that you referred to about the Chris Sale trade. I think White Sox fans are going, I don't know what I'm supposed to like here. Why we did this before, why are we doing it again? Well, this was a trade that had to happen. Bruce and I have been talking about it for weeks. With the return that you could get for a guy like Garrett Crochet, knowing where the money is for Garrett Crochet, the control and where the White Sox are, they had to make the deal. I want to talk about Brandon Montgomery because it's all on projections. You didn't see him in any minor league system last year in Boston, obviously, with the injury, and now it's time to plug and play him here in Chicago in the minor leagues. Where do you think that he'll start? Will it be high A? Will it be double A? And he's a guy that could vault up. He could obviously, the opposite of that, obviously, he could fall out. But with his arm tool, with his hit tool, power tool, he's a guy that could go from 54 to top 20 next year at the All-Star break, right?
I don't know that he's going to hit the ground running that quick because he's coming back from a pretty serious ankle injury. But he does have a high ceiling. And I want to circle back for 1 second to the PTSD. Yeah, I know Moncada and Kopech didn't become everything that they were supposed to become. And I know the White Sox didn't win a World Series, but it actually helped the White Sox make the playoffs in back-to-back years, which they literally had done never in the history of the franchise. So
good point.
They did accomplish some good things, and there is hope for the future. Now, Montgomery, it's a huge ceiling. You know, he went 12th in last year's draft, and I think part of the reason he lasted that long was he broke his right ankle. He had a bad slide in the Super Regionals in June, right before A&M got to the College World Series where they finished second. And I think if he doesn't break his ankle, he might have gone fourth or fifth. I mean, it was not out of the question that the White Sox would have taken him fifth, you know, had he been healthy. I mean, he was definitely on their radar. You know, he's not a speed player. You know, it's average runners. It's not like people are worried, like, oh, this is going to affect his game. But, I mean, he's a switch hitter. It's huge power. He could be a 30-home run guy. And the one thing that's kind of tricky is he's much better left-handed than right-handed. There's some talk that maybe he should abandon switch hitting. We'll see what happens with that. Huge arm, up to 96 off the mound. You know, very, very interesting guy. You know, in terms of where they start him, I'm always of the mind that, like, you're better off letting the guy tear it up, like, and start him a level lower. I would not put him in double A. I'm an SEC guy. I went to Georgia. I love the SEC. It's the best conference in college baseball, and Big Ten fans, it's the best conference in college football, too. But that's another conversation. But that said, like, it's not close to double A. And when Brandon Montgomery's ready to play, he missed all last summer. Like, I guess he's been hitting the cage. I think he's going to be good to go in spring training, was my understanding with the Red Sox. I hadn't really checked in on it recently. But I wouldn't send him to double A right out of the gate. I would say, I mean, even if you sent him, and I don't think it really matters in the long run, even if you sent him to single A and let him just, you know, let's say he tears it up for a month.
Yeah.
What's the harm in that? Then you move him to high A. So I don't think they'll send him to double A. I think they'll be cautious with him at first, just physically to make sure the ankle's okay. But yeah, I mean, he's a guy who, had he not broken his ankle, could have been a top five pick. I mean, I don't know that they would have taken him over Hagen Smith.
I was told yes.
But yeah. I mean, they could have but he was, all I know is before he broke the ankle, we were hearing his name there a lot. Like, it's, I don't know what the White Sox were going to do, because I still thought the White Sox were going to take Connor Griffin when the draft rolled around. But yeah, he might have been their pick straight up. And I know the A's took a guy out of Wake Forest named Nick Kurtz, who was number one on their board. But I think Brady Montgomery might have been their second choice, even with the ankle injury, had Kurtz gone ahead of them. So he's as good as he looks. You know, hey, he was a 12th overall pick. He's actually probably better than that. It's just the injury clouded things a little bit.
Let's segue over to the Chicago Cubs. And my first question to you is the upside of Cam Smith. Guy that had over 1,000 OPS in his sample size of dominating in the minor leagues after being drafted by the Cubs number 14 overall last year. Your thoughts about that trade, and will they be regretting trading Cam Smith in 2026 or 7?
I don't think so for Cam Smith. One, I think Kyle Tucker is on the very short list of the 5 or 10 best hitters in Major League Baseball today. And the Cubs didn't have anybody like that in their lineup. The Cubs had a lineup with a lot of, you know, average or slightly above average big league hitters in their lineup. And there isn't a gaping hole, maybe catcher, although Amaya was good in the second half. But they didn't have that guy that you're like, uh-oh, here comes, you know, Kyle Tucker. And they have that guy now. Now, look, a big part of it's going to be, are they going to re-sign him long-term? They should. We'll see. I mean, they've got the money. But, like, I think to get Kyle Tucker, it's huge. The second thing is the Cubs have, like, and I'll be curious to see. I mean, we all think Bellinger's getting traded. There's Luis Castillo rumors, you know, with the Mariners. The Cubs have to make moves this offseason because they have a very kind of odd situation before this trade where they had pretty much their whole starting lineup back. Everybody but Bellinger, who had an option for next year, was either signed or controlled for at least 2 more years. And then you finish the year with 5 position players who are in AAA or the big leagues on our top 100 prospects list who are going to be ready to play at some point this year. So that's what, like 14 players for 9 spots. And something had to give. So making a trade like this kind of clears out some room. I think the immediate move is, I would guess if the season started today, that you'd probably put Nico Horner at third and Matt Shaw might be the second baseman, which I like that. And then, you know, getting back to Cam Smith, he is a good player. He is on a top 100 prospects list, even though he was drafted 2 picks behind Brandon Montgomery. To me, there's a separation in talent level between those guys. I like Cam Smith. He had a rough freshman season, came back to Florida State, made adjustments, much better hitter as a sophomore. Like you mentioned, Bruce, big year, great debut, got the double-A, homered in 6 straight games in A-ball at one point. And all that's really good. And I do like Cam Smith. I also think I don't know if Cam Smith, like, prospect value was ever going to be higher than it is right now. The one kind of red flag in his profile a little bit is he hits a lot of ground balls and he doesn't pull a lot of pitches in the air, which, you know, there's some question, okay, is it 20 homers? Is it going to be 25? Is it going to be more than that? Or is he going to be a guy who hits a lot of ground balls and doesn't get to all his power? And I'm not saying you can argue in a way that they sold high on him. Not that they were trying to dump him, but, like, I just don't know that his value was ever going to be higher than it is right now. If he went out next year, and let's say he got off to a start and he was hitting a lot of ground balls and he wasn't driving balls out of the park, that would get dinged a little bit. So, you know, to me, I like Cam Smith, but he was, in our minds, the seventh best prospect in their system. They didn't have to trade Matt Shaw. They didn't have to trade Owen Casey. They didn't have to trade Moises Ballesteros. So, you know, you were going to have to trade. I mean, to get Kyle Tucker and to give up only one top 100 prospect, and it was your seventh best guy, and I know Paredes and Wisniewski have value, I think that's a pretty easy decision, especially, and we don't know the answer to this yet, if you're going to re-sign Kyle Tucker long-term, because Kyle Tucker is going to be the number three hitter in your lineup for a long time if you re-sign him.
The one obvious thing that hasn't been talked about that is going to happen, in my opinion, Jim, is that with this trade and the glut of outfielders that the Cubs have, regardless of who they trade, if it's Bellinger, if it's Suzuki, one or both of Alcantara and Casey are going to be traded in moves to bring back pitching for the Chicago Cubs. Your thoughts?
I agree with that, and I'm going to throw James Triantos in there because I think James Triantos winds up being more of an outfielder than an infielder in the long run, and I don't see a place for him to play in the infield anyway. I 100% agree. And of those three guys, I like them all. I like Casey. Casey's the one I would not want to trade if I didn't have to trade.
Yeah, he's gonna be trading. He'll get traded because you like him. I mean, I'm telling you because you're an expert in that area. So are the scouts that cover from the other 29 teams.
He'd be the guy you'd want, Bruce, because I think he's going to strike out. But he also draws some walks. He's super young. I think he's a future 30 home run guy. I like Alcantara, but Alcantara to me, like, he's never had a monster season in the minors. I don't think he's ever hit 20 homers in a season in the minors. And he's a very good player, and he's young. I just think he's one of those guys who's going to be like a big league regular more than a star. You know, like he's a guy who, you know, might hit, you know, 260 with 20 homers. And which is fine. I mean, that's value, especially, you know, before you get into arbitration and free agent years. But I think Casey's got more upside. And Triantos is more of a hit over power guy. And I like him. But he's kind of fringy at second base. He can't play third. And I think he winds up on an outfield corner in the long run. And while I like him, I think he's going to be one of those guys who might hit 275 with 15 to 17 home runs on a corner, which, again, I mean, that's fine, but it's not, you know, Kyle Tucker. That's not a guy who's carrying your lineup. And it's, like I said, it's an interesting offseason for Jed Hoyer and Carter Hawkins and those guys because they still have, if you project out, you know, guys who will be ready to play in the big leagues by the end of the season, they still have like 13 or 14 big league hitters and they can't play all those guys. So it behooves them. I mean, he's going to cost, you know, he costs some money, not a ridiculous contract, but to me, the Luis Castillo trade, it, you know, if you can work out an equitable deal, makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, that's why we have you on, Jim, because now my PTSD about the White Sox is gone and people can stop freaking out about Cam Smith being the seventh best prospect traded for one of the five, 10 best hitters in all of baseball. We appreciate you, Jim, joining us. You're always the best friend of the program and have a great weekend, man.
Yeah, you guys too. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. The great Jim Callis from MLB Pipeline. We have to take a quick break. Jesus. Bruce, take me to break.
We will take a break as Froggy on Frogs, and we come back. We'll talk to you about these trades. And at the top of the hour, Pat Hughes, the great broadcaster for the Chicago Cubs, will be joining us. Bottom of the hour, we'll be talking to Steve Sparks, former knuckleball pitcher, color commentator on Houston Radio for more insight on the new trade and Tucker coming to the Cubs. This is The Score at 670thescore.com.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Back on Inside the Clubhouse here on 670 The Score, Bruce Levine, Ryan McGuffey. And look, I'm looking at Jim Callis's. I feel a lot better after we had Jim on, Bruce, because all the people on here, I'm looking at the text line, the Cam Smith this, Cam Smith that, and he just reiterated what we've been saying for an hour, that the Cubs just acquired one of the 5 to 10 best hitters in all of Major League Baseball.
Yeah, without question. And again, who are they serving when they get this player? Hoyer and company needed to improve the offense. A big push at the end of last year from Craig Counsell, okay? He didn't say it. He said, hey, we need to be looking at 90 wins plus every year, okay?
Yep.
He was pushing. What he really was saying is, you know what? We have a nice offense here. It's not good enough.
Not good enough.
Not good enough to win, you know? We need a couple better players. We have good players. We can keep most of them, but we need a couple impact players. We need an impact pitcher.
Stars.
Yeah.
And bullpen.
What do you need? You need a power bat. You need power arms in the rotation and in the bullpen.
Yep.
1, 2, 3, okay? If they can answer 2.5 of those in this offseason, they should be the favorite to win their division going into next year. Milwaukee, don't ever underestimate underestimate Milwaukee and what they do. You know, they traded Williams here with 1 year left. They got two good players back,
yep.
Okay? They are a really good organization, really run well. Okay, so
but they're not going to spend.
But the Cardinals
are clearing.
Cardinals are going the other
the
way.
The Pirates never spend, and the Reds are going right. to have to.
Reds are
thread the needle.
They're on their way up. They wanted Crochet badly. They're putting their best foot forward. They didn't have the third and fourth player that the White Sox wanted in that trade.
Yeah, and I mean, we know they have Tito Francona, who was on the show about a month ago.
He doesn't pitch or homer.
He doesn't, but he does know how to thread the needle a financial standpoint as a manager and understand the balancing of the budget.
He's a five-war manager.
Yep, 100%. That's good. We talk about the impact of managers. What do you think Craig Counsell is, real quick?
Last year or overall? Just
overall, what's his?
He's a five-war manager.
All right, so Counsell and Tito are five-war managers. Pat Murphy?
Pat Murphy last year was a seven-war manager.
All right, so there's some damn good managers. Yeah. Nothing is going to be handed out, and that's why the Cubs went out and got Kyle Tucker. Speaking of the guy who's going to be calling Kyle Tucker and the home runs that'll follow, hopefully, at Wrigley Field, we have the Hall of Fame voice, Pat Hughes, joining us at the top of the hour. His 30th season. It's hard to believe. 30 seasons as the Cubs play-by-play radio voice of the Chicago Cubs. He's Bruce Levine. I'm Ryan McGuffey. This is Inside the Clubhouse on 670 The Score.